Chapter 15. Val swiped into the census and composed herself before entering the living room with a breezy smile. Amal sat in the armchair, staring vacantly at the wall. Sophia was curled up by his feet doing her homework. Michael was in the kitchen, finalizing dinner.
"Sorry I'm late, everyone. How are we all today?"
"Mom!"
Sophia leaped up, giving her mother a tight embrace.
"Check it out,"
she continued, proudly showing a hydraulic design project she'd been sketching for school.
"Wowee! You can tell me all about this over dinner."
"It's going cold," called Michael, plating up. Sophia skipped off, while Val knelt before her father.
"Hey, Dad. How are you doing today?"
Confusion flickered across the old man's face. His lips quivered, and he uttered a faint moan with each rattling breath.
"Mom, come on," called Michael, irritated.
Val closed her eyes, clasping her father's hands, trying not to cry.
"Come on, Dad. Let's eat."
She led him through to the kitchen where he gravitated towards his usual seat. Michael was scrolling through their vertical herb garden, snipping off generous portions. Satisfied with his harvest, he released the brake. The troughs rotated back to their sun-optimized positions, while water filtered down from the uppermost plant beds to those below.
"What's this?" asked Amal.
"Madras, your favorite. As requested," said Michael.
"I don't like spicy food," said Amal, shoving the plate away.
"Here, Dad, yogurt will soften the taste," said Val, adding a dollop.
Amal threw his bowl off the table and slapped his hands against his thighs.
"Stop calling me that!"
"Calling you Dad?"
said Val, aghast. She reached down to clear up the mess, but Michael stayed her hand.
"Sophie, why don't you tell Mom about your cool project?" said Michael.
His sister piped up eagerly, while Michael cleaned the mess and made his grandfather peanut butter on toast. Amal crunched in silence for the rest of the meal, then left for bed.
"You're a good grandson to him," said Val later.
She looked exhausted. Michael fought back a lump in his throat, knowing it was so far from the truth. He was the worst thing ever to happen to the poor man. 2 weeks had passed since Amal had moved in with them, and his condition was worsening. Rare moments of charm and lucidity had dwindled to almost nothing. Michael bunked off class to spend time with him, hoping to glimpse one of those precious windows. Val had written to the school, assuring them Michael would study from home, something he was failing at dismally. Not that he was being idle. He was poring over library books, studying the history of Amal's illness, searching for treatments. There had been many experiments, but no cures. His mother was supposed to be on the evening shift, but she was absent, running late at work again, no doubt. Michael had spent the entire day trying last-ditch therapies from old medical books to no avail. Left behind in Amal's shell was a scared, volatile stranger, baffled by the intruders around him. Michael couldn't bear it for a second longer. Heartbroken and at his wit's end, he put the ailing man to sleep. With Sophia under orders to comfort Amal if he woke, Michael bolted into the night. Anger and despair drove him to the ministry square. He had no leverage, no plan, but he had to try. In the chilly evening air, he stared at the uplit dome. The steps seemed higher than before, the marble grayer. A family huddled at the base, clutching banners and confetti, anxiously awaiting their child's return. Michael brushed past them and took to the steps.
"Happy birthday!" called one.
Ignoring them, he marched onwards. His legs felt leaden as he reached the green metal archway. There was a price to pay for his actions, and it was time to settle it. The clerk didn't recognize him, gazing with the same weary condescension as last time.
"Your letter?"
"I don't have one," said Michael. "I'm here because I need to make a change."
The clerk's nostrils flared.
"No changes. You must leave at once."
"Please, I made a mistake."
"Security!"
Michael grabbed the woman's lapels imploringly.
"Ma'am, I'm begging you. My grandfather's disappearing and it's my fault. I have to put it right."
Tugging herself free, the clerk leaped back and thumped a panic button. An alarm sounded as gold bars emerged from the ceiling and floor, closing like jaws.
From behind her fortress, the clerk watched as two automatons sped towards the intruder. Michael darted towards the elevator, but the door was sealed. He stared around the atrium, searching for clues. The answers had to be in this building. His opportunity vanished as the automatons closed in. They raised their arms, ready to strike. With a cry, Michael fled through the archway back the way he'd come. The machines hurtled after him, onto the stone veranda. Michael ran down the marble steps, seizing the opportunity to gain ground on his more cumbersome pursuers. But as he neared the bottom, he tripped, tumbling downwards. He plowed into the solid square as a crumpled mess. From the top of the steps, the two automatons glared at him. Michael moaned and flopped onto his back, spread-eagled.
Satisfied they had neutralized him, the machines drifted back into the building. A bemused 18-year-old squeezed past them to rejoin his family, giving Michael a wide berth. Alone and battered, Michael lay groaning on the tiles.
"Are you okay?" asked a stranger, leaning over him.
Squinting up at her, Michael recognized the face. It was the girl who shared his 18th birthday, the one who had sworn at him on the steps a few weeks back. Since then, the ragtag teenage rebel girl had transformed into a professional woman. She looked even hotter for it. Michael blushed at his own dire appearance. His entire body ached and his head throbbed. Swiveling round, he propped himself against the bottom step.
"Seems like a crummy way to celebrate your birthday,"
she said, helping him into place.
"It's not my birthday," he groaned.
"Oh, then what were you doing up there?"
"Trying to lift a curse." Kelsey laughed, then stopped short, realizing he was serious.
"You believe in magic?"
she said, trying to sound non-judgmental, and failing.
"Look, if you can't help me, leave me alone," snapped Michael. "Suit yourself. You're bleeding, by the way."
Kelsey turned and paced across the square without looking back. Michael cursed his rashness as he watched her go. He touched his bottom lip. His fingers came away stained in crimson. He'd never bled before, and the sight of it made him queasy. A door opened somewhere behind him. He craned his aching neck, spotting a hatch built into the flat side of the sweeping steps. It was so discreet, it blended with the stone almost seamlessly. A middle-aged man exited, closing the door behind him. Michael regarded him intently. There were three reasons for which humans were permitted to enter the ministry. Two of those were common to all, adulthood and death. The third was the domain of a select and secretive few, research. This man was one of the few humans allowed to enter the ministry multiple times. He was a scholar of mortality. Michael hobbled over to intercept the man. The scholar wore a knee-length gray trench coat which hugged his skinny frame and blended with the marble of the building. Tucked under his arm was a cracked brown briefcase. He walked with a rigidity consistent with attitude rather than ailment.
"Excuse me,"
hailed Michael. The scholar looked at Michael's blood-stained visage and quickened his pace.
"Hey, I said wait up, please."
The scholar was making a beeline for the university pyramid opposite. Michael lunged for the man, catching his arm.
"Unhand me," cried the scholar.
"How do I undo the curse?" begged Michael.
"What curse? Are you simple? There are no such things,"
yelped the scholar, wriggling.
"I know what they're doing and I need it to stop," pleaded Michael, pointing at the ministry building. "They're punishing me, and I can't go on. I need to make it right."
"You need professional help."
"I need answers," cried Michael.
He snatched the briefcase from the man's arm. The scholar seized the other end with a yelp, and the pair tussled over the cracked leather box. The scholar's defense was surprisingly spirited, but Michael prevailed. With a triumphant cry, he wrenched it free. The briefcase flew through the air, spewing its contents across the stone slabs.
"You fool!" cried the scholar.
He scarpered after the fragments in a panic. Michael picked up a piece by his foot. It was a shimmering maple leaf infused with auburn and bronze.
"No, you mustn't touch it!"
It was too late. The leaf crumbled in Michael's hands.
"Don't move another muscle, you festering imbecile!"
The scholar pulled on a pair of white gloves from his coat and chased after the precious cargo. Michael watched in dismay as more of the leaves disintegrated in the wind.
The scholar ferried armfuls back to his briefcase, but many slipped along the way. As the stragglers turned to dust, the man gave up.
"Do you have any idea what you've done?"
fumed the scholar. He slammed his briefcase shut, turned on his heel, and marched straight back towards the ministry.
"Please," implored Michael. "I have to save my grandfather."
"Such unconscionable waste. The impudence, the audacity, the callous indifference of an ignorant mind."
The scholar stormed towards the invisible doorway. Drawing a long and complex key from around his neck, he inserted it into what looked like a weather pockmark. The door sprang open, and the scholar leaped inside. Michael glimpsed a turnstile behind him and an automaton stationed beyond.
"If I ever see you again, I'll report you," snapped the scholar.
The door slammed shut in Michael's face. He traipsed back to where he'd accosted the scholar. Kneeling down, he rubbed his fingers in the auburn leaf dust. It was an ultra-fine sand, softer than any other. He slammed his palm against the stone tiles in anger. It made no sense. He was trying to put it right, and they weren't letting him. They preferred to make an innocent man suffer. Michael dragged himself to a bench at the side of the square and glared at the ministry building. There was something he was missing. Maybe curse wasn't the right word. Contract. He'd violated the contract, and his grandfather was paying the price. He waited, praying the scholar would return so he could make a more balanced inquiry. 2 hours later, Michael was shivering with cold. Footsteps approached as Kelsey strode by.
"Hey, sorry I was rude earlier," called Michael.
She stopped and stared at him.
"You're still here? Wait, is this where you live? Are you a tramp?"
"Don't say tramp."
"Why not?"
"It's not right taking a dump on someone's self-esteem when they're already on the ropes. People are people. Some are lucky, some aren't. Doesn't mean you treat them any different."
"Huh. I agree," said Kelsey, taking a few steps closer.
"For the record, I have a home and a family, and I know I'm lucky for that, but somehow I've ruined it all," said Michael, bursting into tears.
"Oh, boy, there,
said Kelsey, taking a seat and awkwardly patting his shoulders. "Sorry. Sorry, it's been a tough few weeks," sniffed Michael.
"Huh, tell me about it," snorted Kelsey.
"You're a lot nicer than you first seemed," said Michael, accepting her offer of a tissue.
"What? I was super nice earlier. I tried helping you."
"Before that, we have the same birthday. I was entering as you were leaving. You swore at me."
"Did I?
Sorry, I was in a crappy mood that day. Birthdays aren't my strong suit. Especially not that one."
"You don't remember me at all?" he asked, deflated.
"I'd remember you now," she said, grinning.
"What happened?"
"I asked for a refund," he said, gesturing at the ministry.
"For what? You're still alive, aren't you?"
"Every day's a gift. You should be grateful. That's what I've decided," she said, smiling.
"Oh, God, you're one of them," he groaned.
"So what if I am?"
"Transformative 18th birthdays are so cliché."
"Says the guy having a total existential crisis weeks later."
"In my defense, adulthood is not what they crack it up to be."
"It beats childhood."
"I'm certainly glad to be out on the other side, at least. There's an open road ahead, and for once, I'm at the wheel."
Michael nodded.
"Not digging the driving metaphor?"
"I've got one about gardening, if that helps," mused Kelsey. Michael chuckled.
"Huh. You have a nice smile.
In a wonky, I fell down a stone staircase kind of way," she added. She gave him a playful elbow.
"Oh, still sore," said Michael. "Where were you going at this time of night dressed like that?"
"Dressed like what?" snapped Kelsey. "A boss. You look like you could run the ministry." Kelsey couldn't help but grin. Michael glimpsed someone deeply earnest behind her cool visage. Not that he minded the visage. He was a fan of the visage.
"I've started night school. I'm training as a biochemist alongside a practical placement," she said.
"On that note, I should go. I've got an early start this weekend if I'm going to get through my assignments. And I've got flashcards to do on the ride home. Good luck with the curse."
Kelsey gave him a smile, then set off across the square.
"Hey, wait up. Which tram are you getting? Maybe I can walk you there?"
"Sure.
so long as you're down with revision. She pulled a stack of cards from her satchel. Test me on the blue ones. I suck at those. Michael flicked through her cards. Her handwriting was immaculate, and her words captivating, even if the terminology was like another language. The tram station arrived too soon. Michael lingered, longing to extend the quiz. The next service was 5 minutes away, so he doubled down. Kelsey hooted as he acted out the bullet point prompts like a game of charades. He was midway through an ambitious contortion when her laughter faltered.
Hey, is that man okay?
Michael followed her gaze. A shadowy figure was walking along the grassy roadside, swaying. They lifted a leg over the railing and struggled onto the edge of the river embankment. The man's coat was familiar. His shuffle, too. The crop of white hair.
Granddad!
Cried Michael. Before either of them could move, Amal disappeared from sight. A splash resonated in the darkness.
Granddad!
He yelled, rushing to the embankment. Michael's body ached as he ran. His muscles were bruised and slow. Kelsey ditched her satchel and dashed towards the railing, deftly vaulting it. She shed her outer layers and jumped into the water.
Call an ambulance!
Cried Michael, flagging down some passers-by. The current was sweeping Kelsey and Amal downstream. Michael hurried along the embankment, clutching the railing, trying to keep pace. His grandfather's clothes were wet and heavy. As the old man thrashed around, his head dropped beneath the surface. Kelsey powered towards him and grabbed his collar, hauling him up. Gripping his chin, she pulled him flat.
The ladder! Grab the ladder!
Called Michael. He pointed urgently to a set of metal rungs fast approaching from downstream. If they didn't act now, the current would sweep them past it. Kelsey kicked hard and seized the ladder, but the current was still dragging them away. Her arms stretched to breaking point as she clung on, trying to keep Amal's airways above the water. Michael and the stranger scrambled down to the riverbank. Heaving the old man out, they lay him flat to cough up lungfuls of water. Shivering, Kelsey climbed the ladder, gladly accepting a stranger's coat. People on the street directed the ambulance towards them.
Granddad, can you hear me? Talk to me!
Begged Michael, clutching Amal's shoulders.
He needs air, let him breathe, insisted a stranger.
Michael watched with terror as his grandfather spluttered and retched, before slumping onto his back, wheezing. Two strangers wrestled the old man's sodden jacket and shirt away and wrapped him in a sweater. An ambulance pulled up at the roadside, accompanied by a fire truck. The fire crew scrambled down the embankment with a stretcher and extended their crane overhead to winch them all up to street level. The strangers scrambled back to safety themselves, while fire crews chaperoned the shivering Kelsey and shock-riddled Michael after them.
"Will they be okay?"
stammered Michael. Amal's stretcher disappeared into the ambulance and the crew closed the doors. Michael gave a bewildered statement to the firefighters while waiting anxiously for the doors to reopen.
You can see him now, said a paramedic several minutes later.
Michael climbed inside and grabbed his grandfather's hand.
Fine day for a spot of swimming, eh, Michael, my boy?
Chuckled Amal. Michael's face spread into an automatic grin as he caught his grandfather's infectious smile, before bursting into tears. He clung to the old man's frame, crinkling the silver heat blanket in the embrace.
What happened?
Sobbed Michael.
I wish I could tell you. The workings of my mind are as much a mystery to me as they are to you, my dear boy.
The paramedic checked Amal's lungs with a stethoscope once more, then gave him the all clear.
Good news. Your lungs are all clear and you're not at risk of hypothermia anymore. Right now, you need rest. Going forwards, consider a chaperone. Would you prefer to recuperate at home or be monitored overnight for safety?
Best avoid the hospital. Otherwise, my daughter might find out,
winked Amal.
I think she might twig when you get dropped off in an ambulance, Granddad, said Michael.
Damn. Well then, we'd better get working on the cover story,
he chuckled. Kelsey approached the rear of the ambulance. She had dry clothes on and an emergency heat blanket folded over her arm.
Hey, Michael. I'm glad he's okay. I'm gonna head off now.
Michael blushed, wondering how obvious it was he'd forgotten all about her.
Oh my God, how can I even thank you?
He gushed, leaping from the ambulance.
Do you have a hairdryer?
Not with me.
Then don't worry. We'll call it even.
She gave him a wave and returned her blanket to the fire truck. Wait, said Michael. There's got to be something I can do to repay you. Can I take you out to dinner? Kelsey laughed. You want to repay me? I could use a study buddy, and you were handy with those flashcards. Meet me at the library tomorrow at 12.
It's a date, gasped Michael.
Well, a study date. Unless... No. Study it is. Study is great. Not that a date wouldn't be great. That rhymes. Oh, God, kill me.
Kelsey laughed at him. She leaned forwards and gave him a kiss on the cheek, then set off for the tram stop.
Time to go, sir, if you're riding with us, called the paramedic.
Michael hopped into the back of the ambulance and took Amal's hand once again, smiling at him with pure love and relief. His grandfather looked back at him with a soft smile.
Hello, young man.